The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
While we were in Ames at the Iowa Working Families Summit last week, we ran into John McCurley. John is a historian and lead interviewer for the Iowa Labor History Oral Project. That's a joint initiative of the Iowa Federation of Labor, the University of Iowa Labor Center, and the Iowa State Historical Society. We sat down with John and had him tell us the story of labor in Iowa. Enjoy. John is with the Iowa Labor History Society, something I'd never heard about before, but I'm anxious to talk to him to learn about more what it is that you're doing, telling the story of labor history in Iowa. Welcome to the Business News Hour, John. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be with you.
So tell us, what is this society? What is it that you're doing and why?
Well, the society is a freestanding nonprofit that's been in existence for about a year, and it brings together union members, interested members of the public, K through 12 teachers, academics, museum and archivist professionals, in order to try to document and preserve and promote and just generally expose people to the wonderful history of Iowa with regard to the labor movement and to workers' contributions more generally.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of the labor movement in Iowa. Tell us about where all of this began, because if I recall correctly, and it's been a long time, there's a big coal industry at one time here in Iowa, and that had lots of its roots in the United Mine Workers, right?
Precisely. So Iowa's modern labor movement goes back to sort of three strands in the 19th century. One is the building trades. So, you know, carpenters, home builders, people who worked in construction, and to the railroads. So there were railroad brotherhoods, right? But then also, as you say, coal, right? So we don't tend to think about Iowa as a coal state now, but in the late 19th century and early 20th century, it very much was so. There was a very large coal scene that's stretching from as far north as Fort Dodge, essentially almost all the way to Keokuk. And there were coal towns that dotted that entire area.
And we can't forget, one of the reasons there was so much utilization of coal was that was how we powered almost everything at that time, including steam locomotives.
Yes, that's actually a very good insight. So, again, oftentimes railroads, again, were powered by coal, and so railroad companies would oftentimes own coal mines. They were called captive coal mines. I mean, so there were a lot, and steel as well was oftentimes connected to these things. So it's all interrelated.
What surprising thing might people not know about the labor movement in Iowa that you could share with folks, other than the fact that John Lewis is from Iowa? And why don't we tell folks who John Lewis is?
Oh, sure. So John Lewis was originally a miner of Welsh descent, born in Iowa in the late 19th century. He goes on to, well, and he becomes a member of the United Mine Workers. He really becomes more famous once he moves from Iowa to Illinois, but then he becomes a very early on in his life, becomes an important leader within what becomes the, not just the mine workers, but the CIO, the Congress of Industrial Organizations, which spearheads a lot of organizing in the 1930s. And that it's a breakoff from the American Federation of Labor, which had preceded it. But then those two organizations come back together in the 1950s to form what we have today, the AFL-CIO.
Right. My grandfather was an organizer for the CIO back in the 30s. So tell us a little bit about the history of the labor movement in Iowa. What might surprise some people?
There's so many possibilities. I think that some of the things that might surprise people. Well, so many of those industrial unions, talking about the CIO, so Iowa has a very interesting industrial union history, again, stretching back to the 1920s, 1930s, when you begin to have those miners who, as the mines closed down, they moved into industrializing towns all across Iowa, right? So from, you know, that's not just Des Moines, but it's also places like Ottumwa or Fort Dodge or Wright or Keokuk or Dubuque. Cedar Rapids. And in those towns, they found meatpacking plants. They found farm equipment industry plants, and they went into those plants, and in many cases, they took their union traditions with them and they organized them. So this is where you find the origins of things like the United Packing House Workers, and then a whole variety of farm equipment machine work unions, ultimately that are going to become part of the UAW. So those unions become powerful, and in the 1930s and the 1940s, and in many ways again transform the lives of working class Iowans by raising living standards and creating the modern middle class in Iowa.
We're talking with John McCurley, ladies and gentlemen, about the history of the labor movement in Iowa. One of the interesting things about this, John, is that we don't hear much about the labor movement in Iowa today. One would think that it's almost non-existent. How did we go from this state that was so full of labor unions and working families and people making a livable wage to a state that hardly recognizes its labor roots?
Well, that's again a long and complicated story, but it's connected to the national one. So one thing that's important to take in mind, an important part of the story, which is that those industrial unions, they were still strong into the 1960s, even into the early 1970s, and it's in that moment that you have a new wave of organizing that's also sometimes not recognized, which is amongst public sector workers. So public sector workers organize, they are unable to gain the Iowa Public Employment Relations Law in 1974, which gives them the legal right to collectively bargain. But at the same moment that those unions are taking off, the unions in these old traditional forms of industry are beginning to decline, and again that's in part as a variety of reasons. One is that you're having some of these more traditional industries that are beginning to move out of the state to find cheaper labor, quite frankly, in places like the South, and then eventually overseas. And then you have, in the case of meatpacking, you have some very aggressive employers who are trying to cut their costs and are competing heavily with one another, and they bust unions in the 1970s and the 1980s and radically decrease the wages in those industries and turn them into, well, radically decrease the wages, which turns them from middle-class jobs into struggling jobs.
And we're seeing that in many places. We just had a news story, John, last week about a meatpacking plant in Sioux City that's attempting to hire 2,000 workers, and the unemployment rate in Sioux City is 2.9%. And they say, we just can't find anybody. In all of that area, there were 2,700 people that were looking for work, and they have to hire 2,000. So they said, we're going to have to look elsewhere or look to immigrant labor to come in here and be assistive.
Well, and there's an important part of that story, I think, that needs to be emphasized, which is that that sometimes the argument is that immigrant labor has depressed wages, especially in those in industries like, say, meatpacking, which is now heavily populated by immigrant workers. Well, again, in the case of meatpacking, especially here in the state of Iowa, the story didn't work that way. It was a series of attacks by employers upon their unions in the 70s and 80s that preceded the introduction of large-scale new immigrants into those industries. So again, the quality of those jobs was destroyed and undermined by the attacks on those unions, and then in those following years, they became jobs that for a person from Michoacan in Mexico, they looked like a really good job, even though that job had gone from being a job that paid $10.69 an hour to $5 an hour.
Yeah, it's quite a history. We've been talking with John McCurley. He's with the Iowa Labor History Society, which is affiliated with the Iowa History Labor Project. Let's talk just briefly about that. You've been out collecting all kinds of stories from Iowans about the labor history and archiving those. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Oh, sure. So again, this is something that Iowa it's in some ways unique to Iowa, and Iowa should be proud of, which is that in the 1970s, the Iowa Federation of Labor, leaders in the Iowa Federation of Labor, especially James Wingert, the president of the federation, realized that Iowa workers were dying. The ones who had formed those unions in the 1930s, they were dying, and with them was going all of this history. And, of course, workers don't write memoirs, don't write stuff down. So if you're going to get that story, you're going to have to record it somehow. So they partnered with the University of Iowa Labor Center and with the State Historical Society of Iowa and Iowa City to hire historians like myself to travel around the state and to record the life histories of Iowa workers. And so that has been going on for the last 40 years or so. And wow. And so we've collected approximately 1,250 interviews in that time, which again reside at the State Historical Society of Iowa and Iowa City, and then now digital versions at the University of Iowa Libraries.
And how can people access those histories?
Well, so we're in a moment of transition. So right now, you can physically go to the State Historical Society of in Iowa City and access the interviews there. But we recently got a grant from the National Historical Records and Publications and Records Commission to digitize those interviews, about 1,100 of them that weren't digital already, and we're in the process of making those available through the University of Iowa's digital libraries.
I can see a documentary coming.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of the possibilities are endless. Because, again, some of the oldest interviews with some of the oldest interviewees back in the 1970s actually stretch back to childhood memories from the 1890s. You know, so these are memories that, again, you know, encompass over a century of Iowa history. It's one of the most important sources for Iowa history, not just Iowa's labor history and economic history, business history, but just Iowa's social history. And it is, in many ways, it doesn't have peers almost anywhere in the country.
Fascinating. I'd never heard of it. I'm glad we ran into you. John McCurley, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much.
That was historian John McCurley from the Iowa Labor History Oral Project. Who knew, right? We're going to move aside and check out what happened today on Wall Street. Stay with us. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
You've got some lines above your eyes that weren't there before. Your smile seems a little off. Your feet drag across the floor. Friends have started mentioning you've never looked so low. And I know I shouldn't say this, but I've had a few. And so what were you thinking when you took that woman home? What were you thinking when she asked to see her phone? What were you thinking when her lies became the truth? What are you doing now that she's made a fool of you? I know those eyes so big and wide seem the honest type, but warning bells should have rung the night she brandished knife.